Richard, tell me about the archaeological site now. How did Ron discover that area?
Well, once again, he saw the picture in Life magazine in 1960. There was a picture of the aerial photograph, and the caption was Noah's Ark with a question mark. And so Ron had seen it there in Life magazine and decided to go over and check it out and see if he thought it really could be Noah's Ark. And so he went over there and was able to find the site. And basically what he saw at that time was an outline of a boat shape. He came back home, and in 1978 there was an earthquake over there about 10 miles from the site. And he went back over there to see what happened. And basically what happened is the earthquake had dropped the material, the surrounding material, away from the boat shape and left it sitting there. So it had been excavated more in a few minutes than people could have in years and years.
Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
We think it was a good thing because it exposed the sides so you could take measurement. It also put a crack right down the middle of it so you could get an idea of the depth of the structure.
Now, does it echo the measurements as the biblical dimensions were?
Yes, sir. The Bible says it was 300 cubits in length. And basically, we know that the unit of measure that Moses used was the royal Egyptian cubit, not the Hebrew cubit. Moses was educated in Egypt. The Bible tells us that. And the royal Egyptian cubit was a standard cubit. It's the cubit and a handbreadth that Ezekiel talks about. In the book of Ezekiel, it tells us about a measurement called the cubit and a handbreadth. We know what the Hebrew cubit is from an inscription called the Siloam inscription that tells the length of Hezekiah's tunnel under Jerusalem. So you can measure that tunnel, compare it to the inscription, and find out that the Hebrew cubit is about 17 and a half inches long.
Now, I'm looking at a picture that you helped provide to us, which is on the Coast to Coast AM website, and I'm sure it's on the Wyatt Museum website, of what you're describing. And I got to tell you, Richard, it does look like a boat to me, at least the remnants of what was once a boat. The sides, I mean, can you feel the wood, or is it all petrified rock now?
Well, it's petrified. It's just like a rock, but it has organic carbon in it. And rocks don't have that, only something was once living.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though it looks like a rock and feels like a rock, you just don't find organic carbon like that in rocks.
If you were standing at the bottom of this or at the base, because I need some scale to it, how high would it be at this point based on the picture?
As much as 25 or 30 feet from the bottom to the, if you were standing down on the ground level.
Okay.
Up there.
Now, on the inside of this object, is that just dirt now? Is that what that is? Or is there some petrified wood there as well?
Well, of course, the matrix material, you would consider that to be dirt now, decayed matter. But there are items that you can measure between. There's symmetry there. That's the reason we don't believe this is a natural object. There's parts and pieces you can measure between, and these things have high contents of organic carbon.
Were there any artifacts found in this area?
Yes, sir. There have been some artifacts found there. There was an animal antler found there. A hole was also bored into one side of it, and out of that hole, matrix material was pulled out and analyzed in the laboratory, and we were able to find fibers, various fibers, plant and animal fibers, animal hair they identified as fur hair from the cat family. And so those types of things have been found at the site.
Is it possible that this site over the years has been pillaged by people?
That's possible. Some people have speculated that maybe some of the wood was used after the flood. But basically what we see there looks like the hull of a ship. Now, the site has splayed. In aerial pictures and satellite data, we can see that the sides have fallen out and are falling out. And so basically what that would cause to happen is it would cause the top to fall in. So we really can't tell a whole lot about the top of it.
All right, now, this picture we're looking at now was taken roughly when?
That was after the earthquake in 1978.
Okay, so about 26 years ago. What kind of shape do you think it is in now?
Well, it is deteriorating, and we have asked the Turkish government for some permits to kind of analyze that and see what can be done to preserve the site. But we know it's deteriorating. We've seen that on satellite data. Parts of the end of it are actually breaking away. And so we're very concerned about the preservation of the site.
Is it cordoned off? Can the public get to it? Or, I mean, is it being guarded or anything like that?
There is a security guard there. The visitor center has been built at the site. It's been declared a national park and a national treasure, and they do have a security man there 24 hours a day.
So do they call it Noah's Ark site?
Yes, sir. There's a sign on the road, the nearest road, and it says Nuhungemisi, and it's an arrow pointing that way, and which in Turkish means Noah's great ship.
So in your opinion, this is Noah's Ark right here?
Yes, sir. I believe there's good evidence that what we're looking at is the remains of Noah's Ark. Now, I want to say that I believe more research needs to be done at the site, but we have to get the permits in order to do that. What we do is present the evidence we have and let people make their own decision. You know, today people want to tell you how to think, and we at Wyatt Archaeological Research don't do that. We just present the evidence we have and let people make their own decisions.
Richard, are there some people who say that this is natural, that it is not man-made?
Yes, sir, there are. And basically what they say that we're looking at there is an obstruction in a mud flow. Of course, you know, if you put an obstruction in a flow, it causes an aerodynamic shape, like a wing shape, I guess you might say. But the problem with that is that the pointed end of the boat is uphill. And an obstruction in a mud flow, when a flow goes around an obstruction, it's round on the uphill and comes to a point on the downhill, and this is exactly opposite of that. So we don't believe that it qualifies as an obstruction in a mudflow.
Has this been carbon dated yet?
Some radiometric dating has been done at the site, but radiometric dating is very, very inaccurate. It's based on the assumption, once again, that everything's always been the same. And we believe that the atmospheric conditions were much, much different before the flood, which means that radiocarbons would be absorbed at different rates, produced at different rates, and such as that. Our geomagnetic fields are going away in half-lives of less than 1,500 years. And so if we had more geomagnetic deflection back at the time of the flood, it would have produced much less radiocarbon at that time. And so, you know, 1,500 years ago, we would have half as much as we have today. So we don't depend on radiocarbon too much.